PCR random matrix model with potential. Okay. So I'll start with, everybody hear me okay? Yeah? Okay, great. So I'll start with traditional free probability and the existing stuff, which is a Gaussian model with commuting entries. So you start with the matrix A, an n by n matrix of IID complex Gaussian random variables with variance 1 over m, and it's subject to the constraint that A is self-adjoint. And from this, you can define expectation on polynomials in one variable simply by taking the trace of the polynomial of the matrix, normalize, take the expectation. Okay, so I'm sticking to polynomials because that's what's going to make sense for me in the CCR case. Now for V, if you fix some other polynomial, you can, and call it the potential, you can consider the deformed expectation, which is the expectation of 1 over n trace P, e to the minus n trace V, which you can write explicitly, if you like, as the integral. Even more generally, you can also, so this has all been done, this is not my stuff. You can do the same for a non-commuting polynomial where you take independent matrices.
Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah.
Don't you need the normalization
quantum? Oh yeah, thank you. So I want to make this a probability measure, so I should normalize it. Let's write ZNV as normalization so that this expectation, which I'll abbreviate as EV, has mass 1. Thanks. Okay. So I guess the first thing you ask about such a thing is, does it converge as M goes to infinity? So several people have worked on this. I guess some names I'll mention are Bion, Guillaume, and Maurel Segura. Guillaume, Sviatenko, lots of people in physics, physicists. We don't like them, right? No, I mean, there are many names, it's sort of incremental. So they've shown that these models converge when you make certain assumptions on V. And those have also been incremental. So for example, you can assume in the one variable case that V is convex. But I'll get to a more general assumption. And in fact, what you get is that this expectation converges to a certain enumeration of math. So you end up counting the number of planar maths with one star of type P, I'll call it a P star, and K V stars. And what does that mean? So, for example, let me do the case where p equals x squared and v equals x to the fourth. So by a p star, we mean we start up with, we think of this as a vertex, and we make a fat graph where this corresponds to x and this corresponds to x. So these are, I guess, edge stubs. And now we want to connect x's to x's. In this case, I only have one variable, but you can imagine several variables. You only want to connect matching variables. And I want to do this without crossing edges up to homeomorphism in the sphere. So, I mean, maybe the case I've drawn isn't too interesting, but it counts all these maps up to homeomorphism embedded in the sphere. Okay, so that's what I mean by planar maps with one P star and one V star. These are P and V. Okay. So related to this, there's a stochastic differential equation. So I'll just write it down. We'll see if we can make sense of it. So this ST is free, standard, semicircular, semigroup. And this is just, this is Wolkowski's cyclic gradient. So and you can think of the, and actually the way this solution was constructed, so it was done by several people, again there are names here, so there's Jan Speicher in the one variable case. Again, we'll have to make some assumptions on V, and in the several variable case, Gianni Sviestenko, yes, you're right, so I guess, yeah, so both of these, I end up using both also. So they show that a solution for this exists, and they constructed, you can think of it as constructed incrementally, so it's an iteration procedure which in some sense just relies on this semigroup, depending on your starting condition. So maybe I'll restrict myself to starting condition of zero. Excuse me. So I'm going to describe their assumption on the model because that's what I'm going to end up using. They say that V has to be something called CM convex. So what is this? This is going to just say, so I'm going to define, they define an operator valued inner product. YX star. And they say that V is CM convex if dv of x minus dv of y dotted with x minus y is bigger than the c x minus y dot x minus y for any x, y, and any c star algebra A with norm less than m. So you can think of this as a generalization of convexity to a certain bounded operators, where it's in this definition sense where it makes sense. Okay. And in addition, what you get from this construction is that the station, you can construct a solution for this, and then you can construct a stationary solution, and you find that the stationary solution has conjugate variable dv. Okay, and what this means, I mean, you can write down an equation which will mean that, so the stationary solution, if I denote it by tau, by a tracial spade, then it satisfies this equation. P. I guess I should use x here. Where this is Vekulescu's free difference quotient. Okay, so this is all, again, existing stuff. Maybe the last component of this whole picture is you can show that this matrix model actually converges to the stationary solution of this equation. And the way you usually do that is you prove that that expectation asymptotically satisfies the same equation. So what that means in this case equals that equation, and then you show the solution to this is unique. And in that sense, the random matrix converges to the solution of the stationary solution of the stochastic differential equation. Okay, so these are, I guess, my existing basic components. I don't know where I should start erasing. Great. Okay, so now I'm sort of moving to a non-tracial free probability, I want to construct a non-tracial model, and I'm going to use the canonical commutation relations. So I start with three CCR canonical commutation relation elements, Aij, and Bij, they're free from each other also. And by CCR, I mean they satisfy relations like these. Aij akl star equals 1 if ij equals kl, 0 otherwise. Same for the b's, and the b's and the a's, their commutations are 0, so they all commute. Okay, and you can realize these by free creation operators on symmetric Fock space, with, I guess, n squared linearly independent or orthogonal unit vectors.
And b, you mean not
interaction? Yes.
Not free,
no, I'm sorry, I meant they don't have an interaction, so they commute. Yeah, I should have said. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to denote this as the vacuum expectation. I'll denote phi. And now I'm going to define Cij, which is just going to be Aij plus square root of lambda Bij star, with lambda, I guess, between 0 and 1, and that's my lambda circular element. And this satisfies the KMS condition. So Cij star equal lambda Cij star Cij, and I guess I can extend it to, for me, I'm just going to need it for polynomials, so I can extend it to polynomials, and then I write it using the modular group. So sigma minus I phi of Q P. Okay, so this is sort of my ingredients instead of the independent Gaussian, complex Gaussian. And now what I can do is I can just form a matrix out of these things. So I just have to normalize the variance. So this is my n by n matrix. It's not self-adjoint. And now I can define expectation on polynomials and two non-commuting variables by just sending p to c of 1 of ren trace p of a star, where trace p a star just means the sum of the diagonal elements of the resulting matrix, and this is not in general tracial. It's just, I'm writing this because we know what it means as an expression. Okay, and this also satisfies KMS. You can check that. And now I can do the same thing as I did over there, define the deformed expectation. So that's where I introduced the potential. So deformed expectation is just going to be, I guess I need my, this will be a different normalization from previous, one relating to phi. We're inside now, I just take the exponential of this operator, VA A star, where V is some fixed. So this is some fixed polynomial, which I call potential. And again, this thing is to normalize this whole thing, which I will call CV. I normalize it to CV of 1 being 1. Time is gone. Okay. So, I guess the first interesting thing about this is map enumeration. So when you write out this expectation, you end up getting words in these creation operators, and you can use earlier results by Shevchenko, which tell you that an expectation of a word to leading order is computed using planar maps. Okay, so ones where you have to pair A with A star, I'm sorry, Aij with Aij star, or vice versa. And using that computation, you can fiddle a little bit, and you can show that if you actually consider, let me just put a beta in front of my potential, so I can consider the formal expansion of e to the minus n trace, and I'm just going to consider it term by term. So if I have that, and I just consider the kth term in this expansion, I find that asymptotically, that counts the number of directed maps with 1 p star, k v stars, where my directed edges are flowing left to right, and I have to multiply by some multiple of lambda because of the little procedure I'll show you in a second. So it's lambda to the number of A stars in P plus the number K times the number of A stars in V. Okay, so how does this work here? Well, if I change this, now I have to have polynomials in X and X star, right? So let me try, let's see. I'm going to try something that will look meaningful. I guess I'll just do X star X here, even though that's not too exciting. Maybe I'll do this. So now my map has to read X star X, X star for my first edge, then X, X star X. And now I can start pairing X to X star, and X star to X. And the idea is that if I paired X to X star as opposed to pairing X star to X, I can flip them using the modular group, and that's why I get this certain multiple of lambda. So I can actually ignore those maps where I matched X to X star when I read them left to right. And then, I guess in this case, and then I end up counting precisely this type of directed map. Okay? So by replacing my entries from the Gaussian entries to the CCR entries, I'm now counting directed mass. So, I'm sorry, I should have drawn arrows where my X stars are outflowing and my X's are inflowing, just to make it clear whom I can connect to whom. So I can only connect outflowing arrows to inflowing arrows, and I insist that they all go left to right. Okay, so this is the map, the kind of map I'm enumerating now. Great. So only erase the parts I need to change, since I'm doing the squiggly analogy. So now I'm going to consider the related SDE just to produce some sort of limit object which will serve as my candidate limit for my random matrix model. And what I do is, here instead of considering semicircular semigroup, as DLT1, so square root of lambda DLT2 star, where these are two creation semigroups, I guess, one two, and they're not related to each other the same way that the CCR elements A and B were not related to each other. And this D, I have to modify it. Maybe I should put a bar over it. And I guess here I have XT and XT star. So DX of V of X and X star is going to look very similar to Voigt-Roeskuhl's cyclic derivative, except for I need to do a switch. So UXW, it will be the modular group V, applied to W, U. Okay, so this is my differential equation. Okay, so I'm not going to construct a solution. It's a tedious process, but combining, again, the same methods that were used by Björn Spiker and Gnesiostenko, you can also produce a solution for this thing. Again, I'll take my starting condition to be zero, and you can take it to be generated by just these two. And, of course, I have to make some assumption on my potential in order to obtain the solution. And the assumption that works for me is sort of a modified CM convexity. And what's my modification? I actually define a real-valued inner product. And again, I have to take into account the modular group. So that's my inner product, and again, I require the same thing, CM convexity. And after I do this, what I find is that the stationary solution let's call it phi to this differential equation satisfies, I guess, a sort of weak conjugate variable equation. So now we have X star interacting with X. So this is the equation that it satisfies. Okay, there's a slight technical issue here, so I'll call it weak conjugate variable equation, which can get resolved later, but it's not that pertinent to this. Okay. I guess the last sort of component for this thing is showing that this model, which we only calculated as sort of its component of the power series expansion converge, we have to show the whole thing converges. And again, we said it's usually done by showing that some sort of Schwinger-Dyson equation for the matrix model converges. And again, that can be done. The proof is somewhat technical. But I guess the interesting part for that is that for the condition of CM convexity to be satisfied, I need to have my matrix bounded. So I have to replace A by some function of A to ensure that its norm stays bounded by N, and then I can apply this potential to it, and it seems convex, et cetera, et cetera. And I can get convergence that A limit point of that will satisfy this asymptotic equation. Okay, I think that about does it. Yeah, but I'm sort of still working on, I mean, not quite. So it's a bit touchy at times which context I can use. You know, some of the single variable results from your paper follow, and some of them I have to sort of switch to something more multivariable to take into account X and X star. So I'm still working on clearing up exactly which part I can get from which.